There was an anointing for both David and Saul, but only one of them honored God. Only one of them did what God wanted them to do. Only one of them actually expressed the heart of God to his people. And it wasn't Saul. But they were both anointed. You are anointed. God has said, the Bible says that you have an anointing on you. And we have to ask ourselves, we want to declare that. God, 1 John says that I have anointing. There's an anointing upon me. The Bible says that the anointing will teach me. The anointing will help me grow. The anointing will help me live a Christian life. But what are we doing with that anointing? I want to suggest to you if we are not involved in serving, then that anointing is just sitting there. It is not doing what it was designed to do. It is not doing what it is given to do. Now let's... The kingdom of God has kings. But the kings in the kingdom of God rule in a different sphere than a king in the natural. They rule in a different way. There are different things that a king in the kingdom of God system does. Now, of course, we're talking about kings. We could use the word the female. We could use queens as well. It's the same thing. There's royalty. We're talking about royalty. God wants to move every one of us into a position of royalty, and we've been anointed for it, but have we been groomed? Have we allowed ourselves to be groomed to be kings and priests unto God? Now, Jesus, as he walked upon the earth, and we know the Beatitudes, he said many, many things while he walked upon the earth. But you know, when Jesus ministered upon the earth, he ministered not under the new covenant, but under the old covenant. The new covenant hadn't come into existence yet. The New Testament wasn't really into existence yet. Although Jesus talked a lot about it, it seemed like there was a transition from the old to the new. But Jesus lived under the old covenant, and all the wonderful things he said in the Beatitudes and so forth were all things that were spoken to a people who were under the old covenant. The New Testament, the New Covenant, was not ratified yet, had not come into being. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. The Bible says, "For where there is a testament, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the tester is still living." You see, Jesus was still living when he was upon the earth. He had not died yet. So the new covenant, the New Testament, had absolutely no power because he was still alive. But when he died, we know that he came back to life again, and he sent us the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is the executor of the will of Jesus. And he has given us, he is doing everything he can to see that we enter into what Jesus has paid for. What was in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to walk in. And I say that to say this, because every covenant, every kingdom has laws and decrees. We've seen the old covenant, we know the Ten Commandments were given very clearly. There was a lot of other laws around that, but the Ten Commandments were the basis of it. Now in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, actually the New Testament era, which actually begins, the teaching of it actually begins in the book of Romans, when the Apostle Paul begins to teach about what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like under a new covenant. And the Word of God is absolutely crucial to help us to understand how to live in the New Testament. And I believe today, the society that we're living in today, most of the church has forgotten or left behind some of the things that have been taught from for the New Testament or the New Covenant laws and regulations. Oh, Pastor Bill, we're in the New Testament now. We're under a new covenant. It's all free. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." So we don't have those laws and decrees. Not There are still things that you and I need to live by. The Bible has clearly stated some things that you and I must live by. And I may be preaching to the choir here this morning. Maybe we all agree, but I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of people that we influence that wouldn't agree, that want to walk in a place of freedom, or they what they perceive to be freedom. Whatever feels good, do it. But that's not the teaching of the Scriptures. The teaching of the Scriptures clearly speaks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ being the truth. And Jesus said, he prayed actually to the Father, he said, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. It is truth that will set men free. It is truth that will set order out of chaos in the world today. It is truth that will actually redeem the world that we are around today. And if you've noticed something, there is a lot of what is referred to now as fake news, a lot of things that are referred to as untruth today. All that means is it's a lie. It's not true. And somehow we have to come back to this place where we realize that there is real truth, not just somebody's idea of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. Jesus said in 1837, before Pilate, he said, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. You and I are to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says. That means that we are to bear witness to the truth. And if we are going along with a lie, that means we're not bearing witness with the truth. This has been burning on my spirit this week. Over and over again. And I find that sometimes when there's some things that start welling up in my spirit about certain things that God wants to speak about, and I see things happening around the world today where that many Christians seem to be are more into the world than they are in the kingdom of God, it's time that we have to begin to raise our voices again and start trying to set some kind of a plumb line for Christians to live by. Say yes, Pastor Bill. Jesus, before Pilate, said, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Now, this is a truth that was given by the Holy Spirit, by the Apostle Paul, to the church at Corinth, but it's just as relevant today for the church at Faith Work Center, for the church at Prince Edward Island, for the church in Canada. It's just as relevant today, giving some clear example of what it really means to be in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He gives a warning. There is a possibility that people are deceived, they're under deception, and they're not going to choose to accept the words of the Apostle Paul in this particular chapter. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I got to raise both hands. But you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. You see, we have allowed some of these things, because of the pressure of the world, we've allowed some of these things to get into the church. The first thing Paul mentions there is fornicators will not be allowed in the kingdom of God. Fornicators, what does it mean to be a fornicator? What's it? Well, it actually means for two people to have sex outside of a covenant agreement with God. That's fornication. You know what that means? That means you're shacking up. You're not in. You're a part of the fornicators. That if you're living together outside of marriage, of a covenant relationship, that means that you're a fornicator. Now, I mention that because I believe that's one of the first areas that the church missed it in. We began to invite and make people feel just as comfortable. We dare not say too much to offend somebody who's living together, but dear God, they may not come back to church. The problem with that kind of talking is that it sets a standard for our young people. And they see this around all the time. And they think, well, it must be acceptable. It must be okay. And then things go on to degrade from there even. Neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, and so forth. You know what's interesting today? With the liberalism around the whole sexual area, and the sexual perversion that's taking place today, there's so many things that are accepted today, like same-sex marriage. If you did a survey, they tell you if you did a survey, that'd be the majority of people who would say that that's quite acceptable. But yet, in the area of adultery, there's still 90%, and of surveys, there's still 90% of people who feel that adultery is wrong. I believe they're both wrong, but it's interesting to me. As we begin to succumb to some of the things that society puts before us, our minds begin to get thinking in a warped fashion. And the reason for that is because the enemy does everything he can to distort the truth, to malign the truth, to put a stopper to this place of the truth that you and I are to live by. The enemy does everything he can to distort the truth, who is Jesus. And if the enemy can distort how we see Jesus, he will distort the truth. If the enemy can distort Jesus to the world, then they will be devoid of truth, because Jesus is the truth. And so as we live in this world today, we must realize that we must be proactive in hanging on to the truth. And sure, we'll be criticized. And sure, we might be shunned. And sure, we may be called bigots. We'll be called all kinds of things. We'll be called all kinds of names, religious. But I'd sooner be called religious than lose the truth. I'd sooner stay with the truth. I'd sooner live for the truth. The apostle said, such were some of you, but you were washed. Are you washed? But you were sanctified. That means set apart, made holy. Are you sanctified? Are you made holy? But you were justified in the name of the Lord. Well, that means if you were washed, if you were sanctified, if you were justified, you're not caught up in fornication and adultery, in idolatry, in homosexuality. You're not caught up in being a thief or covetous or drunkard or being a reviler or an extortioner. You're not caught up in those things if you're washed, if you're cleansed. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it claim that you're washed by the Lord Jesus Christ and then live like you're not. That's just the way it is. But how many of us are willing to stand up to the truth today? Especially when you have a government that's promoting just the opposite. When you have a government that's trying to steer you away from the truth, that's actually trying to malign the truth that is in God, the pressure. You see, someday, even as churches, we've seen a good demonstration of that this summer when the government decided that unless you agree, basically was saying that unless you agree with abortion, then you are not going to be funded for some of the church programs and many of the other programs. So we see the government turning away from truth. What's the next step? The next step may be, okay, if you're not going to agree with the what we call the human rights, which is not true at all, because the free abortion is not a human right whatsoever, not in the Constitution. It's not there. Many lawyers have spoken about that and proved it, but yet the government says it in, it is, and as long as they hang on to that, the next step they might say is, well, you don't deserve to be classified as a charity where you get your tax credits for your giving. I wonder what'll happen to the church then. It'll be real interesting when that day comes. What are we going to stand for? Truth, or will we follow the God of Mammon and say, I can't give like I used to. I love giving into the kingdom of God. I love getting that tax break at the end of the year. But now I'm not going to get that. So maybe the kingdom of God is not worth it anymore. We will be challenged in the days ahead. I suggest we make our decision today that we're going to stand for truth. I suggest that we make our decision today that we will stand together, one with another, holding up the flag of truth in the midst of a perverse generation, a perverse society. Whenever you decide to make a stand, you'll suddenly realize how desperately you need one another, because you cannot stand alone. Stand with me, please.